providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing on with this trend of looking at 2020 and some of the better performing resource stocks and then looking ahead to what some of my guests think will be or should be the focus for 2021. I'm chatting with John Kaiser, founder and editor of Kaiser Research. Now, John, let's start off with some of your best picks and predictions in 2020. Let's start off with some of the precious metal stocks. Please give us some insights on initially one stock that you and your subscribers did well on this year.
Well, Corey, the biggest performer this year has been SK Mining Corp, which is a junior I've covered as a bottom fish for quite a few years based on its SK project to the south of the original SK Creek mine. It's been called Sib, Lulu, and Corey. And I made them a favorite at 22 cents in late June when they started to finally raise money to do a serious rethink of this project. The original SK Creek project that Skeena now controls 100%, it's only about 10 kilometers. There's another 25 to 30 kilometers of the same trend to the south. And all the work has been pretty much focused in that northern part with the Lulu zone and then scattered around in the southern part, not very coherent. And late last year, they brought in a new team headed by John DeDecker, who's done a complete rethink of all the geology. They brought Quentin Henney in. In fact, Quentin was the one who brought John DeDecker in to take a look at the VMS potential. And yesterday they released results from half of the hole, 20 holes they drilled in the TV Jeff area. They are not yet in SK Creek 2 discovery, but they include high gold and silver grades within the mudstone units, similar to what the Lulu is and what Skeena has been encountering below the contact mudstone, which is the event horizon where the fluid spewed onto the ocean floor and built that 2.5 million ton SK Creek, the 21B zone deposit. So these two targets are 1,800 meters apart. It's not yet a major discovery, but there's so much evidence of this VMS-style fluid flow passing through these rocks, leaving gold and silver around, and they're just starting to figure out the geology. They drilled these holes before they had the geophysical survey results. So when they go back in there in July, this project will be the most watched project in the Golden Triangle in terms of producing another SK Creek scale discovery. And if they were to find something like that, at today's metal prices, it's worth $4.4 billion, which is, even though this stock's at the already $1.80 today, the $400 million implied value, that's still a potential $19 future price target for this type of play. So that was the best play so far this year for my batch of favorites.
Yeah, no kidding, John. Even, it's ending the year very strongly, too, by the drill results that were released this week. I know a lot of companies hold back on some news because they think that the market is slow on these shortened holiday weeks, which it usually is, but SK Mining goes to show that if you release some good drill holes, your stock can almost double with on the back of those drill results. John, you even said, though, they are getting back these results. They have most likely a better understanding of what is underground here, but they're not going to be able to get back onto the site in terms of drilling until summer, say July. What do you think in the meantime could drive this stock? Or does SK Mining turn into a stock that you just need to watch into next year because of the lack of, well, a drill program starting up in the near term?
Well, the backdrop, of course, is what are gold and silver going to do? And so far, they haven't reported any meaningful zinc copper results, which is what you expect when you get into the actual exhalative VMS pile. But if gold and silver trend higher in 2021, this stock will track that also. But yeah, they just raised $13.8 million between 90 cents and $1.25. That comes free trading in 4 months. That's still 2 or 3 months before the drilling resumes. So You know, there's not a huge amount of news flow coming to help them up, except general anticipation that this is going to be a huge play. They're finally properly financed to explore it, and they have some deep geological thinking behind there that they hoover up every piece of information they gather and put it into their model. It's not the old scattershot approach where you have guys just poking holes here and there hoping to get lucky, and when they don't, they move on.
Let's move on here, John, because you know what? I do like SK Mining. I also like a couple other Golden Triangle explorers, but the news has been slow in terms of drill results. What other stocks in the precious metals sector have you done well on this year?
The big surprise was Galway Metals, which started the year off as a 34-cent favorite because of the Clarence Steam project. They also have the Astrades base metals project in Western Quebec, but that kind of fell by the wayside. They focused on Clarence Steam. When that funding window opened in May, June, these guys went to town and loaded the treasury. They're now well-funded right through next year. Clarence Stream is an intrusion-related gold system. It was found 15, 20 years ago by Free West and ended up in this company. And this is a brute force thing. You have to keep drilling, slowly stitch all the zones together. And they will ultimately demonstrate this to be a multi-million ounce district with high grade potential. The initial new resource estimate based on all the zones they've discovered since taking on the project, we will get that sometime next year. And it was up to $1.50, $60 at one point. Right now it's trading around $1.16 as part of that general gold pullback. This crazy market doesn't seem to understand that $1,800 to $1,900 gold is absolutely fantastic. They seem to always want gold to be trending higher. So right now, all these advanced gold companies are kind of stalled, but it's up about 250% from its starting point earlier this year.
So, John, when it comes to news continuing out of Galway here, I see some of their recent news releases do show some high-grade gold and also some lower-grade gold over much larger strike lengths. So one of the more recent news releases was 1.5 grams per ton gold over 34.3 meters. But then there's also this high-grade result of about almost 34 grams per ton gold over close to 5 meters. What's more attractive to you here? Is it the high-grade component or is it this larger low-grade component?
See, this is a stock that has a hard time getting market response to news because people don't know what it means. Is it making this zone bigger or smaller? This is why I think in 2021, they will also revisit the Astrades project where they have all these copper zinc zones already outlined to a certain depth. But the market didn't want to hear about base metals this year until in the past couple of months. Base metal stocks have actually done quite well. But with the VMS type target, once you get your geophysics in there and you can outline and see where it is, then you just add money and start drilling. They couldn't afford to do that at the beginning of 2020 because everybody's attitude is you're a failure until proven otherwise. We now have a market that where the glass is at least half full. So while they continue to plod along and have all the engineers do their resource calculations and come up with underground mining zones and also open pittable zones, some of the stuff's near surface, so it could be a series of shallow open pits. They could also go back and revisit the Astrades play. And there is some gold enrichment in that area in some of the zones. And they could start telling, okay, we're going to drill some deep holes to see if these anomalies that we see down plunge are for real. So that could create a balance of excitement in 2021 to counter, waiting for the resource estimate and waiting for the gold price to trend higher.
All right, John, let's also look to some of the base metals plays, or at least one base metals play that you have done well on. No doubt base metals have really come on strong at the end of the year, but give us a stock, please, that you like and have liked.
The big surprise winner is my FPX Nickel, which I've covered for 10 years. They have that super low grade Dakar project. It's like 0.12% nickel in central British Columbia, but it's a special type of nickel. It's a natural stainless steel called a Werowite. And this year they hit a major milestone in completing a PEA, which shows that this project is worth over $1 billion. It does have a high $1.8 or $7 billion capex related to it, but it is a 40-year mine. It's the kind of thing that a major would want to acquire. It's in a safe jurisdiction. They may even be able to achieve the holy grail of the mining industry, which is carbon dioxide neutrality, because the tailings have been demonstrated to have an ability to soak up carbon dioxide, sequester it away, so that when they do all their calculations, they could end up being carbon neutral. And there's this huge ESG trend that's wakening up now. It's part of the this idea that the elites, the one percenters, they have the key to solving this climate change problem, because their carbon dioxide consumption footprint is double that of the bottom half of the world's populations and population in terms of net worth. And they can choose to buy brands such as a Tesla, which demonstrate that they have very good ESG credentials. So this deposit, which requires $7.75 as a base case price for nickel, which we are not very far off from right now, this could become of interest to a producer which can certify all the nickel comes from this single source. Here are the carbon dioxide footprints. It's not like buying it from the LME, where it could have a Russian nickel from the nasty, dirty, polluting Norilsk mine mixed in with it. So this ability to offer a product with ESG credentials, that's part of a major new wave in the new year. And they are also doing work on making nickel sulfate, which is the key input for the battery market, confirming that this is a reality. And that would be huge, because the electric vehicle sector is accelerating far faster than everybody anticipated several years ago, when people like myself were skeptical about that, EV adoption happening. But the adoption is happening very, very rapidly. The battery sector is getting tremendous research, R&D into it to make the batteries better so that they charge faster and hold their charge longer. So FPX Nickel up 300%. It's been up 400%. Started at 16 cents. Now it's 65 cents. If you take the PEA seriously, which I think you should, this is going to disappear somewhere between the $2 and $4 range in the next couple of years as a big entity takes this out.
Yeah, it's been nice to see FPX Nickel get some more love from the market. I like the team there and the story. They've just kept the story going. They haven't blown out their share structure or blown out their cash, and now they're finally getting some love. So it is nice to see. John, in terms of 2021, what are some of your favorites in terms of sectors and potentially even driving down into the stocks?
Well, if gold can hang in here at these levels, I would be very happy. Technically, if you have a Biden administration in charge of America's destiny over the next 4 years, that should be good for gold. But if the Republicans keep control of the Senate, they'll probably do what they did in 2011 and discover that, oh, debt does matter, only not when we're in charge. So they'll impose austerity restrictions on that. And that could create a sluggish economic recovery from the pandemic once we get this behind us in the second half year. And that could have a dampening effect on gold. On the other hand, everybody could come together and said, this COVID thing really sucked. The vaccine's vanquishing it. We need to come back and let's rebuild America. Demand for base metals go up. It's already going up because China has recovered from its COVID setback and it's now growing again. Much production was slowed down, or new development 12, 10 years of a bear market. So copper's going strong, nickel's going to be strong, even zinc, has come out of its funk and has over $1.20 a pound. And China, of course, has been the primary producer of that, about 40% of global supply. But if we get a growing economy, even zinc could end up establishing a better price. Other themes are, I think the critical metals space is going to get a lot more attention. Rare earths are part of the electric vehicle market, even though the batteries with cobalt and lithium have got all the attention, and copper is the wiring that makes electric vehicles go. Rare earths are still part of the magnets. Almost all of it comes from China, except what Lynas produces from Mount Weld in Australia. And the tension between China and the United States, I don't think it's going to get better under the Biden administration. So I think the quest for critical metals outside of China is going to go up. And part of this ESG movement that's really interesting is the China price is the China price because they have the lowest standards in terms of pollution, of health standards, and so on. And China being a dictatorship, they suppress all criticism of the government. So you can't trust anything that China says. So if you get a system like Robert Friedland's ABEX exchange, which is now gone public, which is a way to offer ESG certified metal into a market where it'll function as an auction and end users can bid on it. This is how you could end up seeing a premium price for Western sourced critical materials by branded entities such as Tesla, who want to be able to show that we get our metals from these locations. We're not getting the cheapest China price anymore, because our clientele, we're offering a luxury premium product. They're actually willing to pay more to know that they are part of this process of reducing their carbon footprint in order to keep the world from reaching that tipping point, because the 99%ers can't do it. And this whole idea of asking them to make sacrifices and in order to save the planet for their children or grandchildren, that doesn't really fly with a lot of people. But if you're a 1%er, you have room to make sacrifices that don't really harm your basic necessities of life. So critical metals, I think, are going to be strong. And of course, exploration. We always have the scenario where, well, maybe the metal prices won't go up. They'll just sort of stay where they are. In which case, you have to look at exploration, which finds deposits that work at the prices we have. And that funding window we had from May through September, that was the best funding window since the first quarter of 2011. In my juniors, TSX juniors that I covered, the ones that have negative working capital, that used to be 50%. It's now only 35%. The system has been cashed up. The delays from COVID in terms of lab results and that have slowed down the ability to make the money disappear through exploration work. So we're heading into 2021 pretty cashed up for exploration. And some companies, of course, they're going to switch into feasibility demonstration, which is especially the case with the gold projects, which have languished while gold was stuck at $1,300. So I'm quite bullish going forward, even in kind of a lame scenario where gold stays stuck and also base metals stay stuck because the United States decides that it's just going to monitor its debt situation and not do anything to rebuild itself post-COVID.
All right. Well, John, thank you for those insights. A lot to take in terms of the different push and pull in a lot of different resources. Before we wrap it up, though, can you give us a couple company names? We don't need any other further insight, but some company names that you are watching closely on top of the ones we just talked about into next year that you think maybe have some good work programs underway, please.
Okay, the Consolidated Wood Jam is a bottom fish that I made a favorite in September. It started at 4 cents. It's now 20 cents. We're in the midst of raising $2 million. They have a copper deposit, couple hundred million tons, and next to it, a gold copper deposit that's smaller, but where they're doing exploration to show that the gold persists at depth and that this could be a gold primary system. So if we get gold going up and exploration success, that becomes a gold story. But if we get copper going up, then that southeast zone becomes interesting, and they have a target nearby, an IP target, which has a similar footprint that has not been properly tested. And if they could end up doubling that resource, that could also do very well. And in the copper area, Serengeti Resources, they are merging with Sun Metals. There will be a 2-for-1 rollback, but you get the Marco Day financing powerhouse blended in with this company. There's synergies between Stardust and the Quanica project. And Serengeti also has the EastNIV project, which they generated from scratch, which is basically an untested copper-gold porphyry system in British Columbia, which could be an entirely new discovery when they get around to drilling it. So you get a gold and copper potential there. And then if you want a long shot type story, there's Endurance Gold, which has a large land position in Alaska that they hope to finance next year. But they have a little project called Reliance near the Brelon project that Talisker is tackling. They did some shallow RC drilling to get some sense of how the super oxidized portion of this 2-kilometer strike of what yielded high gold grades in the past. They think this is like Brelon, except higher up in the system. And they will tackle that in the new year. And that was one of my big winners this year that I can't really count, because it went from 2.5 cents up 400% to its current 13.5 cent level. But it's the kind of high grade story, 4-hour drive from Vancouver, which could be the big surprise from an exploration, high grade gold exploration perspective in 2021.
All right. Excellent, John. Thank you for your insights. Great chatting with you this year. I look forward to following up on a lot of these themes as we enter 2021 and even move through the year, because as much as we can all make predictions on how next year is going to turn out, I think this year really was a wake-up call to remind everybody that anything can happen. Hopefully, 2021 is a bit smoother than the year we just went through. John, thanks for your time, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your holiday season.
Yes, thank you, Corey, and the same to you and your family.